amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in church here today? Yeah, well, it's good to see everybody. Praise the Lord. We just welcome you to Family Church. We know that we have some first-time guests here today, and we're just so honored to have you. I'll tell you what, we just say this, you're not here by coincidence, you're not here by accident. You're here because God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life, amen? And we want to get you connected to His plan. It's better than anything we could ever think of ourselves. And so again, we just welcome you. Church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting friends feel warm and welcome? That's our jobs. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. Just so glad to see you. And for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We just welcome you, and we just want to get you plugged in to what God has for you. And if you're looking for a Bible teaching church, we'd love to have you every single Sunday at 10:30. And I'll just tell you this, not because it's family church, not because it's me doing the preaching, but if you'll come just faithfully over the course of months and a year and more, I guarantee you that if you will hear the Word of God, if you will do the Word of God, you will not recognize your life in 1 year from now because of the better, amen, of the improvements that God will make in your life. Well, we're just so glad to have you. Boy, is everyone enjoying the air conditioning this morning? Yeah, we got some brand new AC units that were installed this week because the church got together, pitched in, and it's all fully funded. And so thank you for all that contributed to that. And also, we're just very excited to announce that we have 80 kids signed up for our youth camp. Praise the Lord. That starts just 1 week from today. Isn't it amazing just how fast time is going? I mean, we're already into August. That is so wonderful. And don't forget, 2 weeks from today, our family church picnic, we are going to be serving communion on that day. Also, we're going to have water baptism. And if you've never been water baptized, go ahead and get signed up for that. If you've never made that public declaration of your faith, you know, water baptism is so that you will, you know, stand in the midst of people. You will declare that you believe that Jesus is Lord. You will believe that He, you know, you are going to declare that He died and rose again. And then, of course, water baptism signifies our burial with Christ and our resurrection with Christ. And so if you've never been water baptized, I highly recommend getting signed up. We would love to help you with that. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yes. Go with me in your Bibles. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Today, I'm going to call this message, "The World Will Soon Be Shaken." The world will soon be shaken. And you say, wow, Pastor, that's a serious title. That almost sounds like doom and gloom and agony on me, right? No. If you're born again, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, there is no doom and gloom for you. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have already overcome the world. You have already won. Amen. And there's nothing that's going to take you out, so to speak. And so when we say this, though, it sounds very prophetic. The world will soon be shaken. Well, we are going to look at some Bible prophecy here today because we need to know and understand the days and times that we're living in, which are very serious times. You are living in days that are prophesied in the Bible, just like the days of Jesus were prophesied. And so we are seeing these things. We're seeing that our world is starting to be shaken right now. We know that that will increase as the day of the Lord grows closer and closer. Folks, this isn't to scare anybody. This isn't to be sensational, but this is simply to just get us prepared and develop a mindset that is always ready for whatever God is doing in this earth. Amen. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to jump right in. We're going to start in verse 25, and I'm going to read down through verse 29, and then I'm going to go back, and we're going to explain some things. Actually, I'll probably explain a few things as we go. Before I start reading Hebrews 12:25, though, I want to give you some context. I want to, kind of put it in order for you. If you're not familiar with the end of chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, see, the author of Hebrews starts talking about the difference between Old Testament Israel and New Testament Christians. Do we have any New Testament Christians here today? That's who we are. That is the time in which we live. The dispensation or the era of time that we live in Bible history is called the New Testament or the New Covenant, as opposed to the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, right? And so he's making a difference between how God dealt with the Jews of the Old Testament and how he deals with us in the New Testament. And he's specifically talking about the time over there in Exodus chapter 19. Remember how God came down and visited Israel on top of Mount Sinai? How many of you remember the Ten Commandments, right? I hope your greatest experience with the Ten Commandments is not just Charlton Heston's movie, right? I can guarantee you Moses didn't look like that. And I don't think he talked like that either, you know? But anyway, Charlton Heston, in his Ten Commandments there, a little bit different than the Bible's account. And of course, that comes from Exodus chapter 19. And the Bible says that when God spoke on that mountain, his voice shook the earth. And the Bible now is going to prophesy that there's coming a day when the Lord is going to shake the earth again, when he speaks from heaven and upon the return of Jesus Christ. Let's read this. Hebrews 12, 25, it says, "See that you refuse him not that speaks." How many of you know God's speaking to us? See, here's the difference between religion and relationship. With religion, man only speaks to God. But in relationship, God speaks back. And what Christianity is, it's not a set of rules. It is not a set of morality. You know, Christianity is a living conversation and a living leading by God's voice and by his Spirit. We as Christians should be walking a life that is hearing his voice every day. We can be led by the Holy Spirit every single moment of our lives. Amen. And the Bible says, make sure you don't refuse him who's speaking to you. And it goes on to say, "For if they," the Old Testament Jews, "escaped not when they refused him that spoke on earth," or at Mount Sinai, "much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." God is saying that in the Old Testament, he spoke to the Jews from the earth. But now in the New Testament, God is speaking to us from heaven. And it says, make sure you don't refuse the voice of the Lord. Make sure you don't refuse his instructions. Make sure you don't refuse his standard. Make sure you don't refuse his ways. Make sure you don't refuse him who does have demands for our life and does expect us to live a certain way before him. Amen. Don't refuse him. You know, we have a saying, you know, in our home. I just have a saying for myself. God gets what God wants in our lives. That should be our code and our mantra. Amen. And it says, God spoke to Israel from the earth, but much more we shall not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Notice God speaks to us because there's something that he wants us to escape. Yeah. You know, meaning he does not want us to be destroyed with this world. And look at verse 26. It says, "Whose voice then shook the earth? But now God has promised, saying, once more I will not shake the earth only, but also the heavens." The King James Bible says that he will shake heaven. The word heaven there is not the heaven where God lives. If you look up, it's a different word in the Greek. It means what we would call the sun, the moon, and the stars, or that he will shake the heavens. All right. And so God says that there, he is prophesying now that there will come a time when he will shake not the earth only, but he will also shake the heavens. And he is telling us that the earth will shake again. And today I'm here to tell you that you're starting to see some of this starting to cast its shadow right now. All right. In verse 27, it says, "And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made," or literally man-made. It says, why do these things shake? That those things which cannot be shaken would remain. Oh, we're going to talk about that. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Now go back over there to verse 25 and let's just start going through this. Again, verse 25, it says, don't refuse him that speaks from heaven. He says, you will not escape if we refuse his voice, if we refuse to do what he says to do, if we refuse to live for him, right? And say, well, pastor, don't say that. That sounds scary. Folks, if a pastor cannot stir you up, you know, if a pastor cannot, you know, try to light a little bit of a fire under you, who can, right? Amen. That's my responsibility. Folks, God wants us to escape with him, meaning he doesn't want us destroyed with the world. He doesn't want us to collapse when this earth shakes. Amen. Now, verse 26, this is what we're trying to get to. Verse 26 is a prophecy from the Word of God about what will happen here in the last days. It says this, whose voice then in the Old Testament shook the earth at Mount Sinai. But now God promised, saying, not only will I shake the earth once more, but I will also shake the heavens. And this is the prophecy. The Bible is telling us that God is going to shake the earth again. And I'm here to tell you specifically, he says, not only will I shake the earth, but I'll shake the heavens. Specifically, this is talking about in the days of the Lord's return. This is, you know, if you want to get very specific and, you know, study this out, what this is a reference to is when Christ returns, the earth will be shaken and the heavens will be rearranged and so on. But folks, we have to remember that this is not just some momentary shaking, meaning it's not just for that moment when Jesus comes back. It's not just, you know, for a few minutes or something. The scripture likens Christ's return to a woman who's about to give birth. And his return is likened to contractions, right? When a woman is about to give birth to a child, her contractions become more frequent and more intense. Or you could say it this way, her body shakes more frequently and more intensely as we get closer to the birth of that child. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, he said that these things are the beginning of birth pangs or birth contractions, and the earth will start to shake. Now, it's not only a literal shaking, but it's also a shaking of all things. It's a shaking, yes, there's going to be earthquakes, Jesus said. There's going to be natural disasters. Yes, you know, the political realm is going to be shaken. It's being shaken now, not just in our nation, all over the world. All right. You know, economies will be shaken. You know, there will be pestilences that will cover the earth. All of a sudden, we now are 4 years removed from a pandemic, right? Here we are living and seeing those times, and we're seeing the earth starting to shake a little bit more frequently and a little bit more intensely as we go on. Folks, I'm not here today to tell you all what this will look like. I can't describe everything that this will include. Yes, there will be a physical shaking, like I said, in the weeks and months, in the years, here in the near future, we're going to see more natural disasters. We may see earthquakes that are just huge in proportion, but we're also going to see, you know, the shaking of economies. We're going to see the shaking of famines. You know, we may see wars. Jesus said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. Nations would rise against nation. Folks, you are living in a very rare time. Israel is at war right now. And the world right now is gathering against Israel. All over the world, people are protesting and calling for the annihilation of Israel. You better be careful not to be on that side. God will stand with Israel. It doesn't mean every little political thing that Israel has done is necessarily our favorite thing, all right? We're not here to debate the merits of policies and politics, But I'm here to tell you, when the world starts crying out again and joining in unison to erase Israel from the earth, know this, they can't erase Israel from the earth. Everyone has tried to erase Israel from the earth, all the way from Nebuchadnezzar, all the way up to Adolf Hitler, all the way up to Saddam Hussein, all the way up to modern day Iran. You will never get rid of them. God has a promise to them, and you're not going to get rid of them, but you're just living in the times when the world is crying out for Israel's annihilation. Folks, know the days that you're living in. The world will soon be shaken, and it's coming. And I'm not here to tell you, you know, what it's going to look like when economies and inflation is running wild and famines and pestilences. I'm not going to get into, you know, all that details. Because I'm not here to talk about what it looks like. I'm here to show you in the Word why the shaking happens. Why the shaking happens. Verse 27 tells us why the shaking of the earth is necessary. Oh boy, are you here today? Woo. Verse 27 is now our homework. Verse 26 is God's homework. That was his prophecy. He says, not only will I shake the earth, I'll shake the heavens as well. We know that this is coming, and some of this is even starting to happen right now in some ways. Verse 27 now is our homework, our part. He says, and this word, yet once more, he says this, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, all right? Meaning the things that actually can be moved are going to be removed, all right? The purpose of the shaking is to find out what is movable or immovable. You see this in the scripture? All right, the removing of those things that are shaken, and it tells you what things will be shaken or movable. The word shaken here, it just means something that does not have true God-provided stability. The shaking is coming to test the stability of all things. The stability. And it says the things that are made, or literally translated, man-made. The things that are man-made or that can be shaken will be removed. Notice it says, and the shaking is so that those things which cannot be shaken or moved will remain. So here is the purpose of the shaking that is going on in the earth, even starting in the days that we live in right now. It is being shaken to find out who is movable and who is immovable. It is to find out the things that man has made versus the thing that God has made. Only the things that God has made will survive this shaking of the earth. All right? Anything that is man-made, whether it is governments, whether it is, you know, platforms of wealth, whether it is economies, whether it is even man-made religion, or whether it's man-made doctrine, you know, all of these things will be tested. They will be shaken. And anything that God did not inspire is going to be removed. Woo! Things and people and economies and governments and false doctrines and false churches or whatever it is, the shaking of the earth is there to provide a litmus test of who's real and who's not. You know, think about this. I had an illustration that I actually thought about even bringing up on the platform and kind of performing it here today. And then I got realizing, you know, that that's dumb. Because, you know, I'm kind of the hero of weird illustrations, right? But, you know, I had this illustration where I was going to bring up just a little table or like a little stool. And I had four water bottles. One of them was full. The other three were empty. And you just set them up, you know, and, you know, on the top of that, you know, little stool. And I just reached down there and gave that stool a little shake in there. And guess what would happen? The empty ones all fall down. Only the bottle that was full remains. Because that's exactly the illustration of what God is going to do. He's going to find out who's full and he's going to find out who's empty. That full bottle represents those of us that are going to be filled with God, filled with his word, filled with his spirit. making sure that our priorities are always the things of God over all things. Amen. Those that are going to continue with a high standard for God. Those that are going to keep serving Him. Those that are going to keep worshiping. And those that are going to stay in church. Those that are going to be found praising. Amen. Those that are going to be found tithing and giving and serving in the ministry of helps and all these things that we do to serve the Lord. Amen. The earth is going to be shaken, but only that which is sincerely from God is going to make it. And so verse 27 is our homework. I don't know about you, but I've decided already I'm not going to be worried about the shaking. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be worried about what's going on in this world. Don't you dare get afraid of the shaking that's coming down on this earth. Just decide that you're going to be sincere. You're going to be real. You're going to be found faithful. And you're going to have your priorities right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This shaking is coming. It's going to, only the things that God is doing are going to survive this shaking. This shaking is coming to test one great thing, and that is how stable we are in God. How stable we are. How sold out we are. I'm telling you, if we just want comfortable Christianity, forget it. Right. Comfortable Christianity isn't going to survive the shaking. Yeah. You know, if you just want things easy and it's a lower standard, not going to make it. If you just want a touchy-feely kind of emotional Christianity, I'm here to tell you that that's not going to survive the shaking. Folks, I am not here in this church. Churches, you know, should not exist for the sake of just feeding our emotions. Churches should teach us how to know Jesus. Amen. Folks, there's not enough time in the day. There's not enough time in the week or the year for a pastor to hold everybody's hand. It's not going to be possible for a pastor to go down, you know, and chase down everyone's emotional needs. That's not going to be something that I can do. People say, well, pastor, I need you to be a little bit more trendy. I need you to be a little bit more my best friend. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I'm being your best friend right now, getting you ready so you are not moved. Why? Because look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. How many of you made Jesus your Lord and Savior? Well, look at verse 28. It says, wherefore we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. This earth can be moved. This nation will be moved. The things that are man-made, economies and governments and money, they can be shaken and moved. But if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you are part of the kingdom that is immovable. It is unshakable. Folks, I don't know about you. I'm just glad I want to be in that kingdom. I'm going to just serve that kingdom. I'm going to obey God in that kingdom because that cannot be moved. Amen. The Bible says that someday that fire is coming to test every man's work and what sort it is. And if we've built with gold, silver, and precious stones, our work will survive the fire. But the Bible says if we build with wood, hay, and stubble, it says that our work will burn up. Folks, I don't know about you, but what we're doing on this earth for Jesus, I want it to remain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, if we have received a kingdom that can't be moved, that means that we've joined the fellowship of the immovables. We're the ones that are supposed to not be shaken with the world. You are not moved about the news. I'm telling you, listen, and I know it's important. This election, you know, in our nation, and every time it's an election year, you know, Christians start to get, you know, really overwhelmed and overly concerned and all this, and they worry about it. And I get it. You know, from the natural standpoint, I understand. Because it's really interesting, to say the least. There are people that are in this presidential race. And I'm not talking about everybody. There's just some in the presidential race and then some that are surrounding these people who shouldn't even be allowed to run a lemonade stand. And yet they are participating in trying to run our entire nation. I know and I understand the critical hour. The United States is perched upon an edge right now. It is. It is teetering. This nation has turned from God. This nation has rejected her last call. It is absolutely the truth. And I'll tell you what, the only thing keeping this nation from falling over that edge is Christians like you and me that are praying for our leaders. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the shaking is going to test the stability, and we are part of an immovable kingdom. Whether this nation, whether the economies of the world, whatever it is, that stuff's all going to shake and be moved. But only our faithfulness and our priorities with Christ are going to remain. Folks, are you making a decision right now? Are you making a decision that I'm going to be part of that kingdom? I don't care what it takes. If God tells me he wants me in church, I'm going to be in church. If the Lord tells me he wants to serve, wants me to serve people in the church, I'm going to serve them. If the Lord wants me to worship and praise, I'm going to worship and praise. Folks, go over the edge, meaning go over that edge with God, give yourself to him and follow that kingdom, because everything else is going to fall. And we're starting to see the shaking now. Look at verse 28. Look at, again, here's the other part of our homework in this passage. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. The word grace means God's ability. Grace does not mean we ignore sin in our life or accept sin in our life. The word grace means move with God's ability, his graciousness, whereby, by his grace, we may serve him. See what I mean? See how grace is the ability to serve God? It says to serve God acceptably. Notice it doesn't just say serve God any old way you want. How many of you know there's an acceptable way to serve God? That means there must be an unacceptable way to serve God. The unacceptable way is what we think. Man-made religion or man-made faith. But the faith that he will accept is his ways, his ideas. Amen. Whatever he told us to do, right? It says, whereby grace will give us the ability to serve God acceptably. Grace is visible upon the life of someone who is sold out to Christ. Someone who's sold out. Do whatever it takes. Follow him. Obey him. I don't care if it inconveniences me. I don't care if it makes me uncomfortable. I don't care. I'm not after my own standard. I'm after his standard. Amen. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. If God says that there's an acceptable way of serving him, that means he must have a standard. That must mean he has a code that he expects us to follow. We don't make God follow our code. We don't make God come down to our standards. This is the reason why I'm going to share this with you here today. Let's go to God's standard. Amen. Folks, it is not legalism. It is not, religion and law to encourage people to go up to a higher standard. It is not religion at all to say, or legalistic or hurtful or painful or whatever you want to call it, to tell people, myself included, hey, let's pick it up for God. Let's pick it up for God. Because you know why? You're going to see what is going to happen. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 59. You may want to hold your place there in Hebrews. We may come back to it. How many of you got the text message last night? How many of you got that? All right, many of you are still turning. Most of you, participate in our text communication service. I'm the one that personally sends out that message. And in the message, there's probably a word that kind of jumped out of that message for you. Wait, why is everybody laughing? What word was it that just seemed to jump off the page to you? Oh my goodness, that's not the word I was thinking of. What a bunch of carnal buckets we have around here. Only seeing that which is going to benefit ourselves. Oh, are you laughing because you're doubting me? Yes? Yeah. Challenge accepted. Honestly, I don't try to make my messages shorter just to keep people happy. But also, too, I understand this, that I'm a theological guy, and I could sit and talk about theology in the Bible all day, and I'll try to drag everybody through the keyhole, make everybody just come, and force you into all this stuff that maybe, sometimes doesn't always stick to us. And so I've got to be more efficient with this stuff. Praise the Lord. But since you're doubting me so heavily here today, someone told me last night in Erie, they said, really, when you said it was going to be shorter, that's when we know it's going to be longer than ever. You wait and see. You wait and see. Unless, of course, if the Holy Ghost interrupts the service. Look at Isaiah 59:19. This verse is going to describe a lot of the trials and the things that people are facing right now. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I've never seen more temptation to be troubled for Christians now. In these last couple of years, I have seen a greater temptation for Christians to be troubled more than the previous 17 years of my ministry combined. Combined. Absolutely. You know, every day of my life, and when I say this, I'm not talking about, you know, not trying to make myself sound good or anything. I'm just telling you, every day of my life as a pastor, you know, I wake up every day, you know, to help people. You know, there's something that I do every day that there's somebody that's requiring my help. You know, I wake up, I pray before I even go downstairs. And then when I get downstairs, the first thing I do, and some of you are going to say, the first thing you do is you open your Bible. No, I hit the coffee pot. Hit that coffee button first. Only then will the Word of God make sense to you. You know, praise the Lord. You know, when the Holy Ghost is referred to as water, you know, rivers of living water, he's referred to as water. Well, you know what it takes to make coffee? Lots of water. You see that connection I'm making there? Praise the Lord. All right. And I sit down at my desk, and yes, I do a lot of administrative work, but every day of my life, there's something, you know, coming up, whether, you know, counseling people for their marriages or counseling people, you know, through, you know, issues with their children or helping somebody, you know, financially with a problem. It might be a car that's broken down or somebody's lost their job or there's just every day there's something like that. And I can tell you, folks, and you have experienced it, and I have too, that right now there's such a press on people to just be tired with everything in life. Life is trying to tire us out. The enemy is trying to wear us down and to wear us out. We looked at that in previous weeks. We know that's his plan. What are we going to do when the enemy just seems to just flood upon us? This is what we're going to do. Amen. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. That's the east. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Have you ever had your life feel like that? No? No. So we're like, nope. Alrighty then. Dismissed. Church is done. Never felt the enemy try to come in on you like a flood? Trying to just pound you? One thing after another, just flooding you with troubles, flooding you with attacks and assaults on your mind, or your finances, whatever it is, right? But look what the Bible says when. Notice the scripture doesn't say if. Christians, you know, some of us faith people, they just say, oh, well, that just never will happen to me. Scripture doesn't say if the enemy shall come in like a flood. It says when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a what? A standard against him. That word standard literally means a higher level of quality to make the enemy flee. He will bolster us with a stronger standard. But folks, here is what is happening. And this is not an attack on you or me. This isn't personal. This is just a general statement. What's going on is when the enemy is coming in like a flood upon people and pressuring them, I'm seeing many Christians, when the scripture tells us to lift the standard, the temptation is to what? Lower the standard. Never, and believe me, I'm not saying I'm some old seasoned salt and I don't have 50 years of ministry under my belt, but I have 19. And I'm seeing now like never before. I'm seeing Christians, they're telling me this all the time. And this has never happened in the previous, 17 or 18 years before right now, where almost on a weekly, if not daily basis, people are coming to me and saying, Pastor, why don't we just make it a little easier? Pastor, just be a little bit more casual. Pastor, be a little bit more easy on this. And what really is going on is I'm seeing the temptation for so many Christians is to lower the standard because life is so tiring right now. And Christians are saying, oh man, I'm just so tired out. I feel burnt out. I've got so much going on. I just can't pray like I used to pray. I just can't, get into the Word like I used to study the Word. Pastor, I just, life is just getting so busy. I can't serve in the ministry of helps anymore. Pastor, life is getting, so tiring. I just can't be in church enough. I just got to find something that has to give. I'll tell you what, if something has to give, don't make it the things that are God's. Folks, I get it. I'm pounded with it on a daily basis. Lower the standard. Present a more comfortable and convenient Christianity. Tell people how easy it is. Make it more fun and all this stuff and cool and popular and all that. Folks, when the enemy comes in like a flood, we lift the standard. We don't say, I just need to go in coasting mode with God. On some of these modern vehicles, when they have trouble with the engine, they go in what they call a limp mode. They literally, so you don't damage the engine, so you don't go over a certain speed. The vehicle will electronically, and through the computer of the vehicle, it'll only allow the vehicle to go very slow. It just allows you to get back home or get off the road or something like that. Well, I tell you what, a lot of Christians are going into that limp mode. They're going into coast. Folks, have you felt it? Can we just be honest about our own lives? Have you had that temptation just to coast with God? All right, we got a couple honest people in here. Folks, it's not just for you. It's for ministers. It's for the some of the holiest, greatest, most anointing human beings that we've ever known or seen in our lives are going through that same temptation. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, this isn't me putting rules on you. This isn't me putting a burden around your neck. This is God saying, hey, the enemy's trying to come in like a flood. Lift the standard. Yeah, that's right. If there was a time in your life where you remember where you prayed more, get back to that. Yeah, if you were, there was a time, where you served in the house of God and life has got you so tired that you just quit serving God that way, get back to serving in the ministry of helps. If there was a time when the first thing that you did in the morning is have your devotions with God, but now you're just waking up looking at your phone and getting distracted, go back to getting in the Word first thing. This isn't about rules or regulation. This is about lift that standard with your relationship with the Lord. Because the Scripture is telling us only the high standard with God is going to survive the shaking. Why does God say, hey, when the enemy comes in, lift the standard? Because he wants you to win and he wants the enemy to lose. God isn't saying, did God tell Isaiah to prophesy this so it would put hurt or harm on our lives? Is that what standards are for, to hurt us? How many of you know we are all right now benefiting from the standards or the codes that were required to build this building? How many of you know when it came to building this building? I know everything that is under the floor. But I was here every day for 2 years. It consumed my life. I know what is behind every wall. I know what is under the concrete. I know where the ditch and the plumbing and dig. I was there under each of these arches that this building consists of. There is, several inches, a huge footer of concrete. Do you know the footers of this building are as big as the footers for the Washington Street Bridge? And I've said that before. When we built this building, we built it to withstand a lot. Actually, speaking about shaking, we had the government, contact us, and they said, we see, your building, in the event of a major earthquake in this area, we believe that your building would be one of the few that would survive it. And if we have to use it, can we use it? I said, no. No, nope. Tuesdays and Thursdays, maybe. No, I'm kidding. You know, but this, I mean, literally, and I didn't even plan on saying this for an illustration for this message, but this building was built to withstand heavy shaking. It literally is. But how many of you know when it came for the contractors to start building it, they didn't just say, hey, put a little concrete there, you know, drive a few nails there, you know, put a bolt or two in, over here. How many of you know they had a book that was thicker than the Bible of all the prints and the plans that every bolt, every, you know, screw, every bit of concrete, every material, everything had to be put in according to the code. According to the code. And the reason why they put those codes in there is so that this building does not fall down on top of us when we're sitting in here, right? Boy, those legalistic contractors. Those legalists. Man, how religious of them to follow that code. How dare they keep up that standard? No, that standard wasn't to hurt us. That standard was to help us. You know, another thing I think of is I think of commercial aviation. We actually have Reverend Randy Nailbone is a professional pilot. And so when I start saying a whole bunch of things that aren't exactly, you know, he could probably correct me. But how many of you know, how many of you ever have flown commercially on, yeah, you've flown somewhere commercially on an airplane. How many of you know there's a lot of codes and requirements? How many of you know you want those pilots up front, you want them to play it by the book, right? You want them to follow their training and everything. How many of you know when a 737 pilot, you know, when he's up there in the air, he doesn't contact air traffic control and say, hey, just letting you know, we're the blue 737 up here. We've decided we're going to fly at this altitude. We're going to fly at this course. And you know what? When we get close to the runway, we'll just figure somewhere out where, you know, where we're going to park. Yeah. Yeah. How many of you know they've got to, they have to rehearse their, they don't just identify their aircraft by the color and the brand that they're flying. They all are given a call sign or a flight number. You know, maybe in private aviation, you know, it'll be November 3130 Golf or something like that. That's the address of the church, by the way. That's why I use it. 3130. And every time they transmit, they give their call sign. They start with their call sign. They end with their call sign. When air traffic control speaks to them, they start with that call sign. And then the pilot repeats with their call sign back to the instructions of what the air traffic controller, you know, gave them to do. Are all those, boy, I tell you what, those air traffic controllers, what a bunch of legalists. They have a standard. Because the standard is the only thing keeping people safe. Amen. Folks, the Lord says, lift your standard. You know, if there was a time in your life where you prayed more, served more, if there was a time in your life when you studied the word more, go back to it. When the enemy is coming in like a flood, here is our homework. Folks, this is not a very teachy message here today. It's a lot of preaching. Hopefully it instills something in our heart that says, I'm going to lift up my standard. Actually, right here in the book of Hebrews, where we were just a few moments ago, right near that passage we were reading in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, lift up those feeble knees, doesn't it? Right? Lift up those arms that hang down. He's telling believers, he says, there's times when this world is going to feel like it's taking everything out of you. Folks, when the enemy comes in like a flood, lift the standard. Don't do less for God. Do more for God. Don't spend less time with God. Spend more time with God. Don't go to church less. Go to church more. Right? Amen. And also, too, let's face it, we all have to face our personal code. What is your personal code? The builders had a code they had to follow. Air traffic control, they've got a code. Pilots have a code. You know, many professions have a code. What is your code? meaning what is your standard for God? I'll tell you what mine is. God's first. God's first no matter what it takes. And to put God first, I have to constantly go searching through my heart and my character, and I have to soberly address where I've just gotten lazy with God. Has anyone ever had to go through your character and dress where you've gotten lazy for God? Is there anybody in this holiness church here today that has ever gotten lazy for God? Come on, folks. And the Lord just keeps impressing this statement. The world will soon be shaken. The world will soon be shaken. I not listening to other ministers or something, I didn't take that from somebody else. I saw Reverend Randy Greer sent out a newsletter, and my wife just showed me the picture on the front of it, and I said, don't show me that. Because I knew this message was going to be preached, and I said, I don't know. The picture on it looked like it may end up talking about something similar to what I'm talking about. He may be hearing the same thing. I'm not saying that he is or he isn't. I just saw that picture, and I said, I cannot look at that. Because I did not preach this message today based on what somebody, you know what I mean, just trying to ride on somebody's coattails. But as I prayed, this just keeps coming. And actually, folks, it's been happening for years. My wife can testify how long that I've been telling her basically the same statement. The world will soon be shaken. Whether it's next year, a portion of it is happening right now. Folks, it's happening to Christians right now. It's not just a shaking of the earth in terms of a physical shaking. It's a shaking of our personal relationship with the Lord. It is a shaking of our attitudes. It is the shaking of our actions and the words that we speak. Yes. Amen. Christians are being shaken right now, 100%, to see the sincerity of their hearts. Unlike ever before, we have stepped into something different. But I'm here to tell you, in the weeks, months, in the years ahead, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years, it's all very soon. And the world will be shaken. It might look like wars. It might look like earthquakes. It might look like economic problems and famines and all those things. But I'm not here to tell you what it's all about. I'm here to tell you why the shaking is happening. The shaking is here to find out who's sincere. Amen. Now notice everybody will be shaken. Everybody in everything. All right? So if you're going through troubles, that does not mean you are at fault or we place blame on you. Right? We're all being shaken, whether it's emotionally, spiritually, whether it's financially or in our marriage or with our children or whatever it is. That enemy. Yeah, at times we'll try to take advantage and move in like a flood. Yes. Raise the standard. Amen. Raise the standard. Say, well, Pastor, I have a high standard for God. Oh, I know many, many, many of us do. All right? It's not a personal attack. But let's all take the time to examine what is our code? What is our creed? How do we build our home, our family, and our marriage? I'm telling you, this is how I build. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care if it's church night or activity night. Guess what? Guess what's going to win? Church. Amen. Amen. Instead of letting my phone or my device tell me what the first thing of my day is going to be, I'm here to tell you, I've been just lifting my voice in the morning to the Lord. Before I don't, you know, I started to find myself waking up, looking, wait a minute. All of a sudden, we think that our answers are found on those things. No, our answers are found with Him. Amen? And so, folks, I don't have 12 points. I don't have 1 point, 2 points, or 3 points in a poem or anything like that for you today. But I want to preach in a manner that somewhere in your heart, you'll say, I'm going to lift the standard. And I am deciding that I am going to be part of the kingdom that is immovable no matter what it takes. No matter what it takes. Folks, can I say some things as we close? All you doubters out there. You doubters. I'm fixing to close, which you know means it'll probably be another 25 minutes or so. Folks, if there's something in your life that needs to be locked down, lock it down. Folks, when I say this, I know this seems really short and almost militaristic. I'm not trying to, be so curt, you know, with you. But if your marriage has got issues, solve them. Solve them now. Don't sit around and nurse your hurts and your offenses. These are not the times to nurse hurts and offenses. These are not the times to sit around and nitpick and criticize your spouse. Now is not the time to sit there and argue and fight and squabble. Now is not the time to squabble with other Christians. Now is not the time to be, you know, finding everything you can wrong with them or talking somebody or something down. Now is not the time to be offended at your leadership. Now is not the time to, you know, criticize other Christians. Now is the time to look deep within our own hearts and lift the standard. Because the enemy knows that if he can get you to lower the standard, you won't survive the shaking. If you've got low standards for God, it won't survive the shaking. You've got to decide right now, I'm going through the shaking and I'm going to be immovable through it the whole time. I say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that the world will soon be shaken. And I showed you why the world will be shaken, to find out who and what is sincere. All right? And I know that if we don't lift our standard personally within our own hearts, we might find ourselves unprepared for what is happening in the earth. Does everybody understand that? Again, I'm not going to tell you what exactly the standards you need to raise. I believe God is going to speak that to you in your own heart. Amen. Did you get some help here today? Say, Pastor, what am I leaving here with? You're leaving here with a heart decision to raise the standard. Because we've all, at times, we let our standard go low, all right? And if our standard goes low, when the earth starts shaking, right, we're going to fall. God doesn't want us to fall. Amen. How many of you want to just be immovable? I want to be immovable. Psalm 55, 22, right? Cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Let the world shake all that it wants to. That's not an opportunity to fail. That is an opportunity to show the world what's truly on the inside of us. To show them, well, the whole time I've been part of this kingdom of God. Amen. Did you get some help here today? Well, that's my message. I'm sticking to it. This is going to be the longest prayer you've ever seen right now. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father, you are faithful and good. And Lord, you said that the world will soon be shaken, and not only the earth, but the heavens as well. And Lord, like a woman who's about to give birth, the contractions will get more frequent and more intense. We see that. Lord, we see that the man-made things, man-made government, man-made economies, man-made policy, man-made religion, and man-made church will all be shaken and will fail. But the shaking occurs to find out that which truly God inspired. And Lord, we've decided right now to look within our hearts, to live by a code or a high standard, a standard of honor, a standard of loyalty, a standard of righteousness and purity, a standard of fellowship. Basically, Jesus Christ is our standard. To look at him and to follow and to imitate all that he says and does. Lord Jesus, you are the standard. You are the high level of quality. You are the code. And Lord, we just say this, you are first in our lives, no matter what. We're going to honor you and glorify you. And that standard is not legalistic. It keeps us safe. It helps us. So Lord, we just praise you and glorify you. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Listen, I've got good news. when we could not produce a standard that was good enough for God, it was impossible, because the Bible says that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we fell short, well short of God's glory, He sent a standard for us. He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, who came to this earth, who died a criminal's death, was executed and nailed to that cross. He died and rose again so that His blood would wash us and cleanse us of all of our sins, so that when we need a standard before God, that He would provide it, that our faith in Christ would be that standard for us. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, today's the day for you. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you walk down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to send someone over to you or anything. It's between you and the Lord. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I know I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, all I'm going to do is ask you to take one small step towards God. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, you will hear me say, I see that hand. You can put it down. So you lifted your hand before God saying, yes, Lord, that's me. And then I will lead the entire congregation in the prayer. Everyone will pray it, not just you. And right there in your seat, you can pray to the Lord and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, could you now lift your hand and take that bold, small step towards the Lord and say, I need Jesus. I want to be saved. I want my sins to be washed and purified. It has nothing to do with our church or our institution. We're not going to hound you or something like that. I'm not going to embarrass you doing anything right now. But if that's you and you know you need Jesus as your Lord, could you just take that step and lift your hand? Is there anybody? Before we pray, I see that hand. Thank you. God loves you. Is there anybody else that say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. God loves you. He's so good. He tells us what He accepts and what He doesn't. But we did have a hand. You know, even if you're here and you know you need to be saved, it's not the lifting of the hand. Pray these words with all of your heart. If you did lift your hand here this morning, go ahead and pray right along with us. Pray these words out of your mouth and God will hear you. Let's all go ahead and pray this together. Say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't it great to see people coming to the Lord? Amen. It's the absolute best thing. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Everyone, enjoy your beautiful Sunday. We love you. We appreciate you. I'll tell you what. Let's all just pick it up a little bit, right? Amen. And that's not because we're not doing, you know, what we should do. But we all could always just lift our standard for God. Amen. Let's go ahead and give Him the praise. Father, we praise You today. We glorify You. And we command Your hand a blessing upon each one. And Father God, we just give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted.